clear up a couple of things. I was wondering if this red ticket that I got when I come through the door here, I thought how appropriate it would be if it was for a free barbecue dinner and Dale Strickland won it. I thought that'd be just about perfect. But that didn't happen, so I know, because Dale won't give nothing away for free, so I get that. I still love you, brother. We went to school together, and I think I graduated. I'm not sure about Dale. But, and just for you, my brother, just want you to know that I'm not bald. I just have a wide part. You see your future in there? Did you say if you keep messing with me, I'm going to get you? We ought to be the happiest people on the planet as believers, shouldn't we?
Amen.
If you can't laugh and have fun in God's house, I don't know where else on this planet you're going to be able to do that. I hope you brought a little bit of a sense of humor today, because I got one, and I'm reminded of it every time I look in the mirror. My wife's back there, and if I hear an amen that I'm familiar with, we'll have a talk. And I'm saying, thank y'all for being here. Dad's Happy Father's Day. I want to share with you a message that I had to struggle with just a little bit, because I wasn't sure if anybody here would want to hear it, including me, in delivering it. But I think it's going to be positive in the very end. So bear with me a little bit. I have an illustration for you to begin with. They were at the end of their rope. They tried everything they knew how to try, and it wasn't working. And these two little boys were just off the hook in their behavior. They couldn't seem to control anything that they did. And finally, they were just exasperated enough in the process that the wife, and almost ready to pull her hair out, calls up the preacher who lived just down the block, and she said, "Brother, you need to put the fear of God in these boys. My husband and I are having a time. We can't get them to do nothing. We can't get them to do a thing that we say, and we're both about crazy with this whole process. I'm going to send them down to you, and I want you to put the fear of God in them." He said, "Send them on down here. We'll take care of that." Well, one of them was about 10, and the other one was about 6. She sent them down there. She said, "You go straight down there, and don't you turn right or left. You go straight in there. Preacher's waiting on you. He's going to talk with you." So the little boys got kind of excited. They went on down the road there, and they went into the church and went into the preacher's office, and the preacher walked over to the one, and he says, You sit right there in that chair. And you," he pulled up another chair, "you come right here and sit in the middle of the floor." And he began to pace around this little boy in the middle of the floor. And every now and then he'd look at him and he'd say, "Where's God?" The little boy didn't know what the world to say. He paced around him a few more times and he says, "I said, where's God?" The little boy just got wider and wider eyed, and finally the third time he said that, he jumped up out of the chair and he grabbed his little brother and he said, "We need to go, we need to go. All right, let's go." And he ran, and they're fussing at one another down the road. "So you realize we're going to be restricted until we're 25, don't you? So this is crazy. Why are you doing this? We should have stayed." He says, "Oh, no, we can't stay." He said, "How come that?" He said, "It's worse than you think. How could that be?" He said, "That crazy preacher down there's lost God. He thinks we got something to do with it." There were some times growing up that I thought my dad had lost his mind. But now that I'm a little bit older, well, significantly older, I realize that the older I got, the smarter my dad got. And I thought, you know, he went 3 weeks in the fourth grade. He was the oldest of 14 kids born in the mountains of North Carolina, and every one of them born at home. And after the third week in the fourth grade, his dad made him come home and work on the farm. I got a 4-year degree, and there will never be a day in my life that I'll be as smart as my father. God has gifted some people in magnificent ways. I came across this the other day, and I thought this was really neat. It's entitled "My Father." It says, "Well, when I was 4 years old, my daddy can do anything. 5 years old, my daddy knows a whole lot. 6 years old, my dad is smarter than your dad. 8 years old, well, my dad doesn't know exactly everything. 10 years old. Well, in the olden days when my dad grew up, things were sure different. 12 years old. Oh, well, naturally, Dad doesn't know anything about that. He's just too old to remember his childhood. 14 years old, don't pay any attention to my dad. He is so old-fashioned. 21 years old, him? My Lord, he's hopelessly out of date. Really? 25 years old, Dad knows about it, but then he should. He's been around forever. 30 years old, well, maybe we should ask Dad what he thinks. I mean, after all, he's had a lot of experience. 35 years old, I'm not doing a single thing until I talk to my dad. 40 years old, I wonder how Dad would handle it. He was so wise. 50 years old, I'd give anything. If Dad were here now, I could talk to him, talk it over with him. Too bad I didn't appreciate how smart he was. I could have learned a lot from him. Is that head of nerve in anybody? Pretty close, isn't it? Father's Day, the day that we celebrate as fathers, the privilege and the responsibility that God has given us to be as fathers today. So I want to wish you a happy Father's Day. I want to thank Brother Leon for the privilege of sharing with you this morning. This message is directly scripture, just a couple of verses that you've heard before, maybe over and over and over again in your life. There's a whole lot been written about fatherhood. Our culture writes a lot. A lot of things have come down the pike about how we should raise our sons and daughters, and how we ought to be fathers in that process. But there's some scripture there that I believe is more valuable than anything that the culture will ever hand to you and I about how it needs to be as parents. Our key scriptures today are going to be from Ephesians 6:4 and Colossians 3:21, and you can turn there if you would like. A casual reading of this passage, these passages of scriptures, you know, would have us believe that they're nearly identical. But I believe if we look a little closer, and we're going to do that this morning, you realize that they're distinct and there are different important differences that are there. And there are some similarities there. The scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Important passage of scripture there. Both of these passages, and we'll get to the other one in Ephesians, just a few minutes there, they're both addressed directly to fathers. Now here's the way I look at it. When you said, "I do," didn't the preacher tell you somehow that the two became one? So ladies, you thought you were going to get off scot-free this morning? Not going to happen, sorry. It's about how we raise our children as a family, as mom and dad, and that's very important. Both are commands. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where it becomes hard sometimes to hear these passages of Scripture here. Because you see, this wasn't a suggestion from God's Word. This was a command. They call that an imperative in the Greek language. And that would have been what Paul would have written to this church here. And notice one thing. He's writing to the church of Ephesus. He's writing to believers who have given their life to Christ. He's writing to the church. And I believe with all my heart that you and I today, even in the 21st century, folks, we need to hear these words. I don't believe they've changed. Both refer to actions that were taken toward their children. He says very clearly, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. So the interesting thing is that there's some differences here. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers are commanded to not provoke their children to wrath, but to nurture them up in the discipline and the admonition of the Lord. So me being a person that likes to know the definition of words, I went to the dictionary and began to look these things up. So Paul expresses very clearly to the Ephesian fathers here that there are some options available to them rather than making their kids angry. It's not required for you and I to anger our children. Provoke is a very, very strong word. It means to provoke to anger or wrath, to irritate, to exasperate, to incite or stimulate anger within them. My dad, I know he didn't mean harm by it, but as I got to be a young man, One of his favorite things to do would be to grab my chest hair just where my shirt didn't cover and pull on it. He thought it was funny. I absolutely hated it. It's mine, leave it alone. You know, it grew there. It's not meant to be pulled. It's just meant to grow there, and that's fine. And he thought that was the funniest thing. There were some times, if I was completely honest with you, that I thought my dad was provoking me to anger. Like, growing up in mom's and papa's grocery store and gas station, and some of you probably remember what used to be Lena Vista Shell down at the end of Florida Drive. In that little corner right there. Well, that was my mom and dad's grocery store and garage and gas station. And that's where I grew up. And the sad part about it was, is I loved to play baseball. Now, if it had something to do with the ball, I was all over that. Fishing and hunting and driving fast cars when I got up enough to drive. But I was growing up, across the street was the Methodist Church, and it still is. And they had a big old open parking lot in the back. And that's where all the guys played ball. Except for me. Most of the time. Because I'm at my dad's place, I'm sorting bottles and filling shelves and pumping gas. And this is back when there was real service stations. When you came in that shop and you drove up to the gas pumps out there, I can still remember this as yesterday, my dad telling me, you check the air in them tires, you check the oil, you wipe that windshield clean. It's yes ma'am and yes sir and no ma'am and no sir and please and thank you, please come back again. And God bless you for being here today. And he was adamant about it. That's back when service stations were service stations. But here's my problem. That was the right thing to do. But not when you can see everybody in the neighborhood across the way there playing ball and you're working in your mom and dad's store. I thought that was the meanest man on the planet. I thought, you surely can't go to heaven as mean as you are. You're making this boy work. And I'm seeing everybody I care anything about over there playing ball and I'm pumping gas. I thought that was provoking me to anger, and I had no idea what he was doing. He was teaching me how to work. But it took a long time to get used to that idea. You see, this command in the Word of God here to fathers, it's not designed to break down the spirit of our children because we put some boundaries and some limits on their lives. You see, I believe with all my heart, church, that today we have so totally confused discipline with abuse. And I got no idea that we need to set some boundaries. The Word of God says we need to set some boundaries. We need to be honest. Instead of beating up our kids, instead of inciting them to wrath, instead of provoking them to anger without any kind of an explanation, I believe that the Word of God says, and it's right here very clearly, but, in other words, there's an option here. Do not provoke your children to wrath, but, here's the option. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And that, my friends, wasn't a suggestion either. It's very clear. It's clear instructions there. Now, I realize that it's a whole lot easier for you and I to say, because I said so. You ever heard that? You ever said that as a parent? You ever wanted to go, ah! That's probably why I don't have any hair in the middle. Dad, I want to go play ball. You got to work. Why? I can see them all over there. You know where this is going? Because I said so. Which basically means I'm running the show here and you're not. And they're playing ball and you're not going to. And that's the bottom line. It's not negotiable. And that's the way it is. What I love, would have loved to have had, was after he told me no and I went off and pitched my little fit, I knew better to do that in front of them. I would have loved for him to say, come here. Let me explain this to you. My wife and I run a lawn service, as you know, and that's the reason I was hoping and praying that if we got a lawnmower, Brother Rick, if that's what this was about, you win a lawnmower, get to mow the grass here, I'm praying that I get picked. But We raised our two sons, mostly her raised our two sons, because I was running a route at the time, in the lawn service. And my wife knew how to instruct these boys on what she expected because she ran the business, okay? And I can remember her saying, listen to me. If I tell you to do something, the expectation is that you'll do it. Now, if you don't like it, if you will do what I tell you when I tell you to do it, we'll have a little meeting afterwards, after we leave the customer's yard, and I'll explain to you why I told you how to do it, why to do it this way. So the principle was, you probably won't get what you want. And I can assure you that if you pitch a fit, especially in the customer's yard, and I look out here and see a couple of people that we used to mow for and some that we still mow for, and if our boys ever had a fit in your yard, let me apologize. All right? But Diane would say, I will tell you what you need to know after you've done what I told you to do. And you'd be amazed how well that works. And it worked really good for us. So in this passage of Scripture here, what I'm seeing Paul saying to these Christian fathers at the church at Ephesus, he's already told them in verse 1, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. He's already told them there. Obedience is a good thing, okay? Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment of the promise. Why? That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And fathers, don't go around provoking your kids. Don't intentionally incite them to anger. There's a better way. There's a better way to do this. Because I said so doesn't get anywhere. Because I said so doesn't teach anything. Because I said so doesn't educate anybody. You see, here's the deal for me. I'm both a father and a grandfather and blessed both ways. But I'm still a father and a grandfather. And I still have the potential to provoke not only kids, but grandkids. I still do that, see? And the word that makes this word of God all the more fresh to me is, hey, listen, obedience is expected, honor and appreciation is expected. Why is that? Because it's the right thing to do. Listen, church, we need to stand on the principles that we find in the Word of God and teach our children and our grandchildren. These are the things that you ought to be doing. Why is that? Because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Nobody ever said, being a father was going to be a picnic. If your son or your daughter wants a best friend, let them go find one. You're going to be their parent. That's what the Word of God says. You know what? Sometimes that makes me the bad guy. Because I thought my dad was the bad guy until I got old enough to realize that everything he was doing was for my benefit. Everything. Did I like it all? No, of course not. You know, sometimes children don't get what they want and they get really angry. And that, you know, that's not acceptable either. It becomes a reactive situation. And as fathers and mothers, we need to be prepared to say, okay, if you want to, you know, if you're going to boil over there, boil over. For us, it ain't going to happen in the customer's yard. And when you're done, when you calm back down, come over here and have a seat. And I'll be happy to explain for you why it is that you were given this particular instruction. You see, I think that we've underestimated the power of explanation. We've said, because I said so for so long, because it's easier, and you don't have to engage with an understanding. You don't have to teach. You don't have to educate. You don't have to encourage. All you got to do is play the power card and simply say, you know what? Because I said so. And that's all you really need to know. Paul says there's option here. He adds the word that fathers need to understand that's the right choice. He says nurture. I love the definition here. To nourish. Okay? To promote health and strength. To bring up in a positive manner. And I love this final one, to educate. Yeah. And I love what Diane did, because what she did was she gave these two boys reasons for the behavior that was expected and reasons why the unacceptable behavior was not going to happen, especially in a customer's yard. So I'm pleased to know we didn't do everything right, no parent does, but we did try to nurture and educate, and that becomes the proactive approach. I think it's clear that fathers are to be involved in the things that happen in their children's lives that we need to know. Paul goes a step further to define what these children ought to be nurtured in. And this is, if I'm going to cross the line and jump on the soapbox, this is where it gets. They're to be nurtured in discipline. Maybe I'm out of line, and I hope I'm not out of line, but we have a son who's a dean at a high school in Polk County. And he said, "Dad, you just wouldn't believe the level of disrespect that adults in the school system receive." If you're a teacher, you probably know what I'm talking about. But there's a generation that's being raised up that thinks they have all the power. And in some ways, they do. How much more important is it going to be, Mom and Dad, that we spend the necessary time to talk to our children and educate them, to set up some discipline? I love this. It's called training up, and it's mostly by example, not just word. The definition means instruction. It means discipline. It means the setting up of some boundaries that are not going to be allowed to be crossed. It means correction and chastisement. My dad would lay down his life for me any day. I'd do the same for my sons or my grandsons. But that does not stop me from saying, this is wrong, this is out of line, and you'll not go there, and we'll not do this. You know, I don't want to be my son's best friend. I want to be their parent. I want to be their father. And it's not always that easy, dads. We celebrate you today, and rightfully so. And I want to challenge you. You see, the nurture and admonition that the Word of God's talking about here is the nurture and admonition in the Lord. That presumes a walk with Jesus Christ. That presumes the fact that you are a believer in Jesus Christ and that you have access to those things in the Lord. And I believe that we need to be very careful how we do these things, not that we just do them. 1 Corinthians 16:14 is part of the wingman ministry that First Baptist at the Mall. It's part of that men's ministry. It's our life verse there. The very final verse there says, do everything in love. If you got to take a hard line, take a hard line. But do it in love. Do it for the right reason, with the intended right result. And I believe to this day that God honors those kinds of things. He explains exactly what that means in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you wonder what it means to do everything in love, go back to 1 Corinthians 13, and he will explain to you exactly what love looks like, what it is and what it's not. I believe God's called us fathers to be the ones who are going to instill those characteristics in our children. And he also says admonition, not only just discipline, but admonition. And I love this word. It says to caution against specific faults, to warn them against specific choices, a mild rebuke or a reprimand, to inform or to remind, to warn them, to challenge them. Part of father's responsibility is to clearly teach and inform and rebuke where necessary about the dangers of certain choices. We allowed our boys to start making some important choices in their lives by the time they were 14. Not choices that were going to harm them, but choices that they needed to make to understand that there are consequences to every choice. Some of those consequences are good, some of them are not so good. That there's a need to be warned and cautioned, because I've been there. I went down that road. I saw the failure that was involved in that in that particular choice. And you realize, I know this, that you will live out the consequences of your choices. It's as simple as that. Some of us are still today, even now, living out the consequences of choices that we may have made years ago. Well, that might have been just made this week. Irregardless, nothing in forgiveness says that God removes all of those from us. Colossians 3:21 is the other verse of Scripture. And it says that we shouldn't provoke our children to wrath. And this is really pointed. Lest they be disheartened. Boy, is that pointed or what? In my instruction, in the boundaries that I set, in the requirements that I lay out as a dad, I need to make sure that I do that in such a way that it does not provoke these children to an angry, evil spirit, but that I give them adequate reason and I build them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord, that I talk to them about discipline, that I experience discipline, that I exact discipline on their lives and admonition, that encouragement is every bit as great as the instruction and the correction, and that all of that is wrapped up in love. And why does that become so valuable? So we don't have our children become disheartened in the process. My dad never beat me up verbally. And listen, I don't know what your history's been. Maybe your dad was really, really hard on you. Maybe the thoughts of your dad causes you to shudder. If that's true, I'm sorry about that. That happens sometimes. The word disheartened is so incredibly pointed. It means to be despondent. It means to lose courage or hope, or to be dejected or depressed, to deprive of enthusiasm. And as I think about this process, I think about the testimony of some of my friends who have said, you know, my dad leaves, his idea is to lead with an iron fist. It's my way or the highway. You can either do this or I'll drop kick you, not out the front door, but through the front door. This is my house. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. And there's a mentality that this is my domain and you're here by choice. And you're going to do like I tell you to do, and that's just the way it is. And there are no accolades for accomplishments. There's little or no encouragement and little or no love. Listen, I get it. I have friends whose life with their dad has been less, far less than stellar. And I get it. And if that's your experience, I'm sorry that you had to endure that. Paul's very clear to these two churches, very clear on how they ought to be as fathers. And Dad, we need to step up. Still, our boys don't live in our house anymore. Both of them are married with children of their own. Still, our boys. And they still want to know sometimes what Dad thinks. Or what mom thinks. So, just in case you're wondering, you never stop parenting, do you? Do you ever stop? Does it ever end on this planet? And that can be a major blessing. You know, we as fathers have the power and the privilege to guide these lives. We have the responsibility and the opportunity to guide them in such a way that when they look back, even as they live it, they can say, I'm so glad that he's my dad or my mom. The thing about it is, we can do that. We've been given clear instructions. See, the real question is, am I going to do it God's way or am I going to do it my way? And the choice is, they're ours, aren't they? They're ours. Listen, if the Word of God's hit a nerve in you this morning, just say thank you. Not to me. I saw a sign out in front of a church one time I thought was exceptional. It says, if the truth hurts, it's working. Is that point of what? Maybe. You're off to the wrong. start. Maybe you've been in the middle of a wrong start. And now you're living out the consequences of that. I want to remind you of one more thing before we close up this morning. You have a Heavenly Father who makes no mistakes. He's perfect in His care of your life. And you can lean on Him every moment of your existence. And if your history is painful, may I remind you that the grace of God is greater than anything that you've ever experienced. When we sing about the amazing grace, it's exactly that and more. That there's forgiveness to be found with the Father, our Heavenly Father, who takes perfect care of our life and has never, ever made a mistake in our life ever. He's never late and He's never early. And the Bible tells us that He cannot lie, so He's never been wrong. And He is that Father that you and I can call on that makes no mistakes whatsoever in our lives. So I would ask you today, do you know that Father? Have you given Him your life? Are you in the kingdom where these commands mean something to you? Father's going to provoke you, children. Nurture them up in the admonition of the Lord and the discipline that comes with that. Why is that? So they don't become discouraged. The privilege of fatherhood carries every bit as much responsibility with it as it does privilege. And we can do this. And I'm going to go one step further. We should do this. Why is that? Because it's the right thing to do. Dads, I celebrate with you today. It's not my desire to come in here and beat you up. Because see, I want to love you with the truth. I'm loving you with the truth in case you missed that. Because you see, the way I believe about this is if you love me, I hope you love me enough to speak truth in my ears. Because if you love me enough to speak truth in my ears, then I have a chance to be nurtured and admonished and encouraged in the Lord. And I hope that you'll see that this way today. I want to encourage you, dads, on this our special day, to be all that you can be and all that you should be. Maybe you're here today and you just be real with me. Say, Brother Kenny, there's never been a time in my life that I've ever asked the Lord Jesus to be my Savior. God is a Heavenly Father, but He's not my Heavenly Father. Because I've never asked Him to be my Lord. I've never received Christ as my Lord and Savior. Maybe you just be real today. This will be a day that you can never forget. You can always look back and say, I got saved on Father's Day, 2017. Maybe that's what you need to do this morning. Dad, mom, young person, doesn't really matter. The invitation's open to all who would come. These altars are here for a very specific reason. They're not just steps to get on the stage. And I would invite you during this invitation, if you need to take some things up with the Lord, this is a really good place. If you can physically do that and the Spirit of God lays it on your heart during this invitation, you come down here and you meet with God and leave here today a different person. For God's glory and for your growth. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father, I want to thank you for your word. God, sometimes it's hard to hear. Sometimes that double-edged sword cuts going in and going out. But God, we can handle the truth. And we need so desperately today to handle the truth. Father, I realize that making this happen is going to take supernatural power. And every Christian dad and mom in this building today, every Christian grandmother and grandfather in this building today, Lord, Lord, I pray that you would empower them with your Holy Spirit, that you would renew in their minds and in their hearts, in our minds and in our hearts, what kind of parents and grandparents that we're supposed to be. God, it's for your glory, and it's for our growth, that we might be all that we can and all that we should be. God, be careful to praise you. Lord, this invitation is yours. Holy Spirit, it's yours. You move. And we'll be careful to praise you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you come?